All right, good morning, everyone. This meeting of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee will now come to order. It is 8:02 a.m., April 18th, 2024, in Capitol Room 124. I'm going to go ahead and take a brief at ease while we wait for other members to trickle in. I just wanted to let everyone know what we're doing and not leave everyone on the line. So, brief at ease. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for your patience. We'll now get this thing going. Members present are Representative Baker, Representative McKay, Representative Ruffridge, Representative Hinshute, Representative McKay, and just in time for roll call, Representative Mears, and myself, Representative McCormick, Chair. Please let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Before we begin, I would like to thank Sophia Tenney, the Community Secretary from Records, and Doug Bridges from the Juneau LIO for staffing the committee today. Today we are going to be hearing three bills. First up is SB 161 by Senator Bjorkman. Second, we will hear House Bill 134 by Representative Coulomb. And third, we will hear HB 30 by Representative Ortiz, and we will be having public testimony for that. So with that out of the way, we now welcome Senator Bjorkman and staff Laura Ashe. Would you please come forward, put yourself on the record, and just provide a very brief recap of this legislation.
Thank you very much, Chair McCormick and members of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee. It is my esteemed pleasure to be with you all here today and for you to take up this important piece of food security and pro-farmer legislation. The heart of this legislation really extends the property tax exemption, otherwise known as a deferment, from farm use land to farm use buildings, and encourages farming through farm use buildings being assessed at the farm rate. This is a discounted rate that allows those farm use buildings to be assessed at a lower value than they otherwise might be if the land use around those farm use lands and buildings changes. So it allows that land to retain its taxed level as if essentially all of the land around it were farm use land as well. And this keeps that farmland from being converted into other uses, strip malls, mini storage, other things that are not farms and don't produce food for Alaskans. Also, it changes the qualification standard for someone being able to qualify for this tax deferment from 10% of a person's total income to $1,000 as shown in total sales on a Schedule F that a farmer files with the IRS and declares that they are in the farming business. They're in the business of farming and making money in farming, and they're showing at least $1,000 in sales for their farming business. Also, this legislation adds clarity to the optional component of the legislation that applies to farm use buildings and encompasses all farm use buildings and makes it so that non-food items can be included in optional provisions for municipalities to exempt those farm use buildings if they so choose. Ms. Ashe, did you have anything that you would like to add?
For the record, Laura Ashe, staff to Senator Bjorkman, and I believe you covered it all.
For the record, my name is Jesse Bjorkman, if I didn't start out with that, representing northern and central portions of the Kenai Peninsula.
Thank you very much, Senator Bjorkman. Are there any questions before we move on to the CS for this bill? Hearing none. So at the last meeting, if it's quite some time ago, we moved a budget in, so I understand some people's memory might be a little hazy. We provided a CS for this bill, and the intent of that, I think, was to use that as a working document. And so I hope folks had time to look that over. So I moved that the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee adopt blank committee substitute for SB 161 work order number 33-LS0971/D as a working document. Are there any objections? Okay, hearing none. the CS has been adopted. So it's my understanding that we have three amendments that have been submitted by Representative Mears, and amendments number 2 and 3 were submitted by Representative Ruffridge. Representative Mears, would you like to move amendment number 1?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move amendment number 1.
I will object for the purpose of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a super easy amendment. It takes into account some of the public testimony, and instead of requiring that an application's be due to the assessor on May 15th, they can also be submitted prior to that, so on or before May 15th. That's it.
Are there any questions or for discussion for Representative Mears on her amendment? Senator Bjorkman, I'd like to afford you the opportunity if you had any commentary on Representative Mears' amendment.
We're neutral on this amendment.
Okay, thank you. I will remove my objection. Is there any objection to Representative Mears' amendment? Hearing none, amendment number 1 has been adopted. Now for amendment number 2, Representative Ruffridge, would you like to move?
I move amendment 2.
I'll object for purpose of discussion. Representative.
Representative McCormick, Chair McCormick. Amendment number 2 makes a couple of adjustments. Firstly, on page 197. It adds back in the word exclusively, so allows a municipality by ordinance to partially or totally exempt land or structures that are exclusively used for farming activity. Secondly, it changes the amount of dollars sold to qualify, sold from $1,000 to $2,500, and that's found on page 1, line 11. Part of the interest for that is to ensure that if a municipality adopts this ordinance, there would be maybe a slight shift in the amount of tax exemption that would be potentially passed on to other property owners. Page 2, line 19, we add a new subsection, essentially qualifying that there would be a option to have the exemption if there was an event that would cause the person who was qualified for the exemption to not be able to farm or sell something that was beyond the control of the farmer. And that is also added, that same language, into page 3 and a new section 5. That is essentially amendment number 2.
Thank you, Rep. Ruffridge. Are there any questions or comments from members? Representative Hemshute.
Thank you, Chair McCormick. I don't know if this is allowed, but I'm curious how this fits with the next forthcoming amendment.
Thank you. Through the chair, we'll have to wait and find out.
I see. And Chair McCormick, follow-up. I'd be curious what the bill sponsor thinks about this amendment.
Of course. Senator Bjorkman, if you have any comments, please go right ahead.
Thank you, Chair McCormick. We support this amendment. This amendment takes into account much of the public testimony that we heard during the last hearing to clarify and tighten up language surrounding the phrase that was in the bill about usually sales. The last part of the amendment makes sure that a person, as they had before under the current statute, is able to show that they have sales of at least $1,000, or if this amendment is adopted, $2,500 in previous years to qualify them for this property tax deferment. Also, this amendment moves up the amount to ease some concerns by municipalities that people will make a run on their assessor's office to qualify for this exemption. And also, this amendment puts back in the exclusive use provision in the optional portion of this bill. And that was a concern raised by the Kenai Peninsula Borough as well as the Matsu Borough of about the their ability to have that exclusive use in their optional portion because of how their assessing office works and their ability to take that property tax deferment all the way to zero if they choose. So putting that exclusive use provision in there just makes it easier for assessors to use the levers at their control to offer those tax exemptions or deferments to the people that need that. We support the amendment.
Thank you, Senator Bjorkman. Is there any further discussion on the amendment? I will remove my objection. Is there any further objection? Hearing none, amendment number 2 passes. We move on now to amendment number 3, Representative Ruffridge.
Thank you, Chair McCormick. I will not be offering amendment number 3.
Okay. Thank you, Rep. Ruffridge. Are there any further amendments or questions or comments from the committee on SB 161?
I got 4 in my book here.
David. Yeah, that's, number 4 is not being offered.
Okay.
Thank you.
We have quick at ease.
Brief at ease. We are now back on the record. Is there any further discussion on SB 161? Representative Mears.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to make a closing comment. I appreciate the Senator's office for work on this component of the Food Security Task Force, and part of what we need to do for food security is support farming operations. And I have a little bit of a struggle with local control and making some state decisions on behalf of municipalities. However, there's a larger policy goal for the state at this point. And I appreciate you bringing this bill and look forward to supporting it.
Thank you, Representative Mears. Any further discussion? Okay. With no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion. Move 161 from committee.
Mr. Chair, I move House CS for CS Senate Bill 161, Work Order 33-LS0971/Delta, as amended from committee with individual recommendations and attached 0 fiscal notes.
Is there any objection?
Object.
Thank you. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Muir.
Yes.
Representative McCabe.
Pass.
Representative McCabe.
Yes.
Representative Baker.
Yes.
Representative Ruffridge.
Yes.
Representative Hemshute.
No.
Representative McCabe.
No.
Chair McCormick.
Yes. With a vote. Thank you. With a vote of 5 yeas and 2 nays, committee substitute for SB 161 passes from committee. We will now go at ease while members sign the committee report. Brief at ease. Right, we are now back on the record. I neglected to thank Senator Bjorkman for being here this morning. So, Senator Bjorkman, I want to thank you for coming and presenting to the committee this morning on SB 161. Nonetheless, we're moving on now to House Bill 134. Joining us now at the table are Representative Coulomb and staff, Ms. Preston. Would you please put yourself on the record and just provide a brief recap of 134. We did hear this last year, so you can be even briefer than usual. So
I will be brief. Good morning, Chair McCormick and members of the committee. For the record, I am Representative Julie Colomb, House District 11, South Anchorage Hillside. Thank you for bringing HB 134 back up today. I'll do a brief recap. It's a pretty simple bill. HB 134 transfer fees will prohibit municipalities and state government from imposing tax transfers on the buying or selling of a home. In the past few years, there have been an increase in tax rates across America, and by increasing the cost of purchasing or selling a home, higher transfer taxes have a ripple effect on this pattern of home ownership. This affects first-time homeowners, senior citizens looking to sell their homes to aid their finances, and families looking for bigger homes to accommodate their families. So HB 134 will not only aid home buyers and sellers, but will also boost our economy and existing real estate laws overall in Alaska. That's pretty much what the bill does.
Thank you, Representative Coulomb. So we have CS that both my office and your office worked on. And so I wanted to, I know we distributed that to the committee, and I wanted to go ahead and move that. And use that as a working document So before we get into questions on the bill, I think it would probably be good form to go ahead and move that first. I move that the Community Regional Affairs Committee adopt the blank committee substitute for HB 134 Work Order 33-LS068/S as a working document. Is there any objection? Hearing none, the committee substitute passes. So with that out of the way, are there any questions for Representative Coulomb on HB 134? Okay. Hearing none, I guess that's all that we have for this morning. I will let the committee know that I'm going to set an amendment deadline for HB 134 for Monday at 3:30. I will have public testimony on Tuesday, and it is my intent to move the bill then. So thank you, Representative Coulomb.
Yeah.
Next, we welcome Representative Ortiz and staff, Ms. Harpold. Do please come forward, put yourself on the record, provide a brief recap of your legislation. We can go ahead and move on to public testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Representative Dan Ortiz. I represent Southern Southeast Alaska District 1.
And good morning for the record, Liz Harpold, staff to Rep. Ortiz.
Again, good morning, members. And again, thank you for agreeing to hear this bill before you, this Daylight Savings Time bill. We just, of course, heard this a few days ago, and so I'm not going to go through the sponsor statement or anything like that. Just as a reminder, we did have some questions the last particular bill hearing, and I want to follow up on those. Representative McKay asked if other countries observe daylight savings time and if New York is looking at similar legislation. Daylight savings time is observed in most of Europe, but not in Japan. And in New York, there are 7 bills covering this particular topic, either to adopt daylight savings time year-round or to study what it means to opt out of daylight savings time, to stay on standard time year-round if neighboring states do so. And lastly, New York City, they are looking to adopt, potentially adopt daylight savings time year-round. A little bit more information. We talked a little bit about the history of the particular bill. In 1966, there was a Uniform Time Act that forbid the observation of permanent daylight savings time. It's called the Sunshine Protection Act. States currently observing standard time year-round wouldn't need to change under that scenario. So, in any case, that's just a little bit follow-up on those kinds of things. I know that today's hearing is going to rightly offer the opportunity for there to be public testimony, and it's my understanding that there is a group called Save Standard Time, based in Arizona, where they currently are on standard time, that advocates for states to adopt standard time year-round in lieu of daylight savings time. They're strong advocates for this particular position as their state has adopted that. But I want to remind people that if that were to happen, if we, the state, Alaska, adopted a standard time all year-round, that would put us and the West Coast states stayed on daylight savings time. Year round. That would put us at a 2-hour time difference all year round between what's now a 1-hour time difference. So we'd have to kind of think of the implications of that if we were to adopt standard time all year round. But with that said, I'm open to any further questions before we go to public testimony.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Are there any questions before we open up for public testimony? Hearing none, I will go ahead and open public testimony now. Is there anyone in the room who has joined us this morning to provide testimony on HB 30? Welcome. Please state your name for the record. Begin your testimony. You have 3 minutes, but we've got quite a bit of time, and I only see one caller, so I'll give you a little slack. So please go right ahead.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Tom Williams. I'm a 47-year resident of Alaska and Juneau. I'm the financial officer for an on-demand air charter company, Word Air, here located in Juneau. I'm also the owner of a vacation rental with my wife, Alaska Northern Sands. And as I said, I'm a 47-year resident of Alaska who enjoys a lot of outdoor activities. I strongly support, as does the company that I work for, strongly support HB 30. We all agree that we need to eliminate the twice-a-year time change. That makes so much sense. But there's only two choices to do that. Make daylight savings time year-round or make standard time year-round. Why would we choose this approach over the other one? Obviously, total daylight hours don't change. But the timing of that daylight is very, very important. Making daylight standard time year-round would only change the time for 4 late fall and early spring winter months. 2, and very important, avoid inflicting real economic damage to the visitor industry throughout Alaska if you were to go the other way. 3, would avoid reducing outdoor recreational opportunities during the spring and fall for both visitors in Alaska if we would avoid that by leaving us on daylight savings time. It would add an hour of daylight after school hours during those 4 months in the winter. It would reduce the time zone difference between Alaska and East Coast financial markets to 3 hours instead of 4 hours during the winter, having a positive effect on all financial managers, including those that invest for the Permanent Fund Corporation. And it would provide an economic benefit for businesses such as Word Air, an on-demand charter, and ski operations during those 4 winter months. Although Alaska could unilaterally eliminate daylight savings time, the significant impact that we would have on our economy, as well as the general health of Alaskans and visitors, far outweighs the benefit of eliminating the twice-a-year time change that has been around for decades. Instead, I urge members to pass out of committee an unamended HB 30 with strong do-pass recommendations. While the results will not be immediate, the long-term opportunity provided by this legislation is what's best for Alaska. Passage of HB 30, along with all the other states that have acted to make daylight savings time year-round, should also encourage Congress to act and allow us to move forward. Thank you very much, and I'm willing to ask questions.
Thank you very much for your testimony and for being here this morning. Mr. Williams, do any members have any questions? Representative Hemshoot.
Thank you, Chair McCormick. Through the chair, Mr. Williams, I keep hearing that this is beneficial for tourists. Can you help me understand that, like build out more why?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hemshoot, the reason, well, right now during the summertime, there's a lot of light hours in the evening, and that provides Alaskans and visitors who may be up here for a short period of time the best opportunity to enjoy all that Alaska has to offer during the evening hours. If we were to switch back, you would lose that time. So it's basically the opportunity to provide services and for people to enjoy the later evening hours. That doesn't make much difference during the height of the summer season, but it certainly makes a big difference in the shoulder times at the beginning of the season now and in the fall. That's why we want to keep daylight savings time in the summertime. It also, in the wintertime, it would allow operations such as our flight service to provide better service to people who generally want to come back or leave later in the morning, come back later in the evening.
Thank you. Are there any further questions for Mr. Williams? Hearing none, Mr. Williams, thank you very much again for your testimony this morning.
Thank you.
Moving to the telephone now, I see we have Jay Peel from Arizona. If you could state your name for the record, you have 3 minutes.
Yes, sir. Hello, Chair McCormick, Vice Chair McCabe, members of the committee. Thank you for having me here. My name is JP, the last name is spelled Papa Echo Alpha, and I'm the president of Safe Standard Time. We're a nonprofit operating across North America. We're actually founded in California, and we are now in Arizona. We work closely with the American Academy of Sleep Medicine, the Society for Research on Biological Rhythms, the Sleep Research Society, the National Sleep Foundation, and many others as part of the new Coalition for Permanent Standard Time, of which I am a co-chair. I'm also a great-grandson of farmers. I'm an amateur astronomer. I'm a software engineer, and I'm asking for your no vote on House Bill 30. I would prefer it would be amended to Permanent Standard Time, which would match Senate Bill 184, which has passed out of committee and is waiting its time on the chamber floor. Permanent daylight saving time would extend DST into winter, which history and science show us is worse than the status quo. The design of DST is to force early waking. You might have noticed this when we sprung clocks forward in March, that it was suddenly very dark in the morning again. And you'll notice again as we reach into September and October that we should really be on standard time, not DST, in the winter half of the year. If you were to pass this bill, sunrise in Anchorage would be after 9 in the morning for more than 4 months, as late as 11:16 in the morning. When this was tried in 1974, it significantly increased car accidents and depression. DST deprives sleep, which is has a strong effect on motorists and also on airlines. We recently had a conference with pilots from United Air speaking against permanent daylight time and for permanent standard time. This is why it is federally prohibited, because of the threat to public safety. And DST is unnecessary. The days grow longer by nature, not by anything government can do. Standard time is the natural time more closely set to the sun, where 12 p.m. should correspond roughly to high noon, and it balances the morning and evening light fairly. Improves our sleep, mood, health, safety, education, economy, especially for kids, commuters, farmers, and construction workers. This is based on hundreds of studies over decades of history. Permanent standard time has long been observed in Arizona, Hawaii, all five territories of the U.S., most nations on Earth. Mexico just restored permanent standard time last year. More states than ever now have permanent standard time bills, including California. I was just there earlier this week, and our bill for permanent standard time passed out of committee. There are bills in Washington, Oregon, Idaho, many, many other states seeking permanent standard time, and permanent standard time is federally approved. So if you're serious about ending the clock change, as most voters wish, permanent standard time is the quickest way to do it, being federally approved. It's the healthiest and safest way, as shown by history and by science. If I may, I wanted to address a few things that were said earlier. Permanent DST would not decrease crime. It would more likely have the opposite effect. There is one or two studies showing it might decrease crime, but there are hundreds of studies showing that it would increase crime. Same with accidents and illnesses. It was mentioned Japan is on permanent standard time. New York City, I'm not aware that they're considering permanent daylight time. They cannot, cities cannot make that choice. The European Union is considering permanent standard time, as that is what all of their scientists are recommending. And farmers are opposed to daylight saving time. They prefer to be closer to nature, which is what standard time does, not DST. So finally, once again, I would ask please that she would say no to House Bill 30 as it is written, and consider amending it to permanent standard time to match Senate Bill 184. Thank you very much again for your time.
Thank you for your testimony this morning, Mr. Pete. Representative Hemshue, do you have a question?
I do. Thank you, Chair McCormick. Through the Chair, Mr. Pete, thanks for calling in all the way from Arizona. I'm curious if any of the studies you're talking about take Alaska specifically into account, or were written or studied here in Alaska?
I'm not aware that are specific to Alaska, but there are studies that are looking at all latitudes in North America, and that would include Alaska. I should mention also that Russia, which is at a similar latitude, of course, tried permanent daylight time for 3 years and eventually had to give up and reverse it and go to permanent standard time. Russia found that permanent daylight time was significantly increasing car accidents and depression, especially among children.
Follow-up, Representative Hemshue.
Thank you. Through the Chair, Mr. P, how could I find that study about Russia?
Let me, I believe it was, the name was Boris something, and B-O-R-I-S, there it is. The study is by B-O-R-I-S-E-N-K-O-V, Borisenkov and all. It was from 2016, and the title is 7-Year Survey of Sleep Timing in Russian Children and Adolescents, published in the Biological Rhythm and Research magazine. Well, and I'd be glad to email any of these studies to you as well.
Thank you, Mr. P. Please do email that, and we will have that facilitated with the committee. Representative Himshu, do you have any follow-up questions? Are there any more questions? Representative Mears.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair to Mr. P, thank you so much for having some resources available. One of the struggles I have is that Alaska is really large, and the impacts that we'd have throughout the state are not equal at all. And it's going to take a little thought and conversation to think about the implications for the entire state and not just weighing it on a single geographic region. So I appreciate that any research and science you can send our way. Thank you.
Are there any more questions for Mr. P this morning? Hearing none, Mr. P, I neglected to provide the email address for House Community Regional Affairs. So that email is house.community.n.regional.affairs@akleg.gov. I always have to check that. I know that the periods are always hard to remember, so that's why I couldn't give it to you right now. So thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you for that.
So I don't believe we have any more testimony this morning, so I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. I'm going to take a brief at ease. All right, we are now back on the record. I would entertain a motion to move HB 30 from committee.
Thanks, Chair McCormick. I move House Bill 30, Work Order 33-LS0273/alpha as amended from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Thank you, Vice Chair McCabe. Is there any objection?
Object.
Vice Chair McCabe, would you like to speak to your objection?
Nope.
Representative Ruffridge.
Thank you, Chair McCormick. I'm certainly okay with this bill moving from committee today. It has a lot of other committees to go through and a lot of other people that can take a look at the bill, which I think is fine for me. I will say I'm certainly not convinced that daylight savings time is the appropriate time for the state of Alaska to be on. I happen to think that decision-making should probably be based on the effect on the citizens of Alaska rather than on the people who travel here. And I think that morning light does have a significant positive effect on individuals. And so I have really deep reservations and concerns about moving to daylight savings time itself. I would probably be a bigger supporter of standard time, but I think we've probably heard this bill enough, and so I will be a yes vote on moving it from committee, but we'll be working on this hopefully in a different committee. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Representative Ruffridge. Are there any further comments? Vice Chair McCabe.
Okay, thanks. I changed my mind. So I also would be a bigger fan of keeping standard time if we are going to get off of the hamster wheel of continuously changing our time. I don't disagree that that's problematic, but I think also problematic is an 11 o'clock sunrise in the wintertime in Anchorage, and I have a decade worth of fatigue risk management study in the airline pilot industry, and I think that the this would be a mistake for Alaska. And to your point, Representative Mears, Russia, that Borinskikov, I can't remember, but that study dealt with the whole country, Russia, which is significantly bigger than Alaska. So they managed to do it, and then they have a little bit lower latitude in places. And so anyways, I will most likely be a no vote on this, but if it moves from committee, that's fine.
Representative Himshute, if you had.
Thank you, through the chair. I'll just confess that I don't have a firm sense of which way we should go. I just want us to do one or the other. So I support moving just about everything in any direction that gets us off of the change.
Is there any further discussion? Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, echoing some of our colleagues, I also am fine with moving it out of this committee. My concern being in my community and region, I don't know exactly what time the sun would be rising in the dead of winter, but we get about 45 minutes of twilight on a good day. And delaying that any further, not only would it be potentially bad for the students who, let's say they have a 12 o'clock recess and it's still dark out, whereas right now they may have a 12 o'clock recess, they're able to go outside, have some natural daylight. But more on a life safety point of view, if there were search and rescue efforts going on and someone had gone out in the middle of the night, it's that much longer before you have daylight to be able to effectively search with. So I'm opposed to a permanent daylight savings time switch over, but we can move it out.
Is there any further discussion? I'll provide commentary too. I think I'm in agreement with my colleagues here, especially my friend from up north of me. I think, pardon the pun, this does kind of leave my constituents in the dark as it's currently written. Nonetheless, I want us to have this discussion. I think the change needs to be gone. That I think we can all agree on, and I really want that that conversation to proceed. And I trust that the following committees of referral will do the work to ensure that they make the best choice for that works for all Alaskans. And so in the spirit of moving on the conversation and getting this on the forefront of discussion, that's where I'm at. So Vice Chair McKay.
I remove my objection.
All right, thank you. Is there any objection? Oh, you moved your hand. Did you have a comment? No.
Yeah.
Okay, Representative Mears.
Object for the purpose of discussion.
Thank you.
thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm really sensing a feeling in this committee that standard is how we're feeling. I don't know whether we should make that change here or kick that down the road.
Thank you, Representative Mears. I appreciate that sentiment. I do want to remind folks that I set an amendment deadline for yesterday at 3:30.
Understood.
So, yeah. I think
change that time too. Right?
All right.
Yeah. So I just wanted to put that out there. I'm of the mind we should move this. There's I think three other committees referral. We might as well just keep it rolling. In my opinion. So, seeing that there's no further objection, I believe that HB 30 passes from committee. We'll take a brief at ease. Sign the Cooney report. Actually, you know what I think we're going to do? We're just going to go ahead and adjourn. So for folks' awareness, we will...
I'm sorry, maybe brief at ease?
Yeah, sure, okay. Brief at ease. All right, thank you. We just needed to clarify some things very quickly there. I just want to confirm that HB 30... brief at ease. We're back on the record. And to clarify, HB 30 did pass from committee as there was no objection. So with that, let folks know that this meeting of, or excuse me, we will be meeting again on Tuesday, April 23rd at 8 a.m. here in Barnes Room 124. The time is 8:51 a.m. and this hearing of the Community Regional Affairs Committee is now adjourned.